Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a young man in Northern California that went out one day to the airport. He was a student pilot. He looked at the weather and knew that he shouldn't take off that day because the clouds were low and they seemed to be building. But he'd planned this flight for a long time, and he really wanted to go. And he decided against his better judgment that he would take off and try to fly up to another city in Northern California called Redding. Well, he took off, and for the first few minutes, everything went fine. He stayed under the overcast, but it kept getting worse. And pretty soon, without him realizing what had happened, he was in the clouds. He could see nothing. Now, he'd had a little instrument training, and he relied on that and thought, well, surely I can get out of this. But then it occurred to him that on each side of that valley there were mountains. And on one side the mountains extended up on their peaks to 13,000 feet, higher than his little airplane could possibly go. And he became very frightened. And he finally decided there was nothing he could do. So he reached down, turned the radio to the emergency frequency, 121.5, and he broadcast into that radio, Mayday, 8624 Delta, Mayday. Now he was heard, and almost immediately a controller came onto the radio and said, 24 Delta, what's the nature of your emergency? And he said, I'm lost. I'm truly lost. And he said, what is the approximate position of your aircraft? He said, somewhere south of Redding. Well, he told him what to do. He told him to dial in some numbers on his transponder. He did that, and pretty soon the controller was telling him, 24 Delta, you're located 10 miles southwest of Redding. Fly a heading of 010 and descend to 1,000 feet. This young man listened very carefully to what that controller had to say to him. And he descended out of those clouds, and pretty soon, at about 1,000 feet, the Redding Airport came into sight, and he was able to land. Jesus says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. But you know, until a person comes to a realization that they are indeed lost, it's awfully hard to do anything about bringing them back where they ought to be. This man had to come to the realization that he was not only lost, but there was absolutely nothing he could do to get himself unlost. And then he listened to that controlling voice that led him to the right place. Zacchaeus was such a person. He was lost, but he was unaware that he was lost. The text doesn't indicate, you know, that Zacchaeus was such a bad guy. He was wealthy, it does say that about him. He was a tax collector, and obviously that's an unpopular profession, even in our day. But he probably saw himself as a pretty much all right guy. He may not have followed all the religious customs of the day, but in his mind, he probably rationalized that he was doing okay. He wasn't doing anything real bad, and if he took a little graft here and there, that's what everyone else was doing too. Well, we all know lots of people, just exactly like Zacchaeus. They go through life as spectators. They may or may not attend church, but if they do attend church, there's probably not much involvement. There's probably not much commitment. They don't serve on committees. They don't run for office. They don't tithe to their church. They may be lost without realizing that they're lost. They may be very strongly devoted to family. They may be very strongly devoted to a cause of some kind, a very good cause in some cases. They may be devoted, as Zacchaeus was, to accumulating a lot of wealth. And they have not yet discovered, as probably Zacchaeus had not, that there's no permanent satisfaction from things. They may have a suspicion that there's got to be more to life than this. And they may observe, may be awfully good observers. They may even go out on a limb, like Zacchaeus did, and like our friend Shirley MacLean has been doing, in order to catch a glimpse of some better, some greater reality, to try to see something of what reality is. But they're still lost, and they may not realize it. Jesus says he comes to seek and to save these people. You notice that he does the seeking, and he does the saving. I came to seek and to save. It's he that is the action in that conversation. He sees Zacchaeus up in this little tree. I know there's some arguing about what kind of a tree it is. Don't spend a lot of time. He's still up in a tree. He sees him up in that tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I must stay at your house today. Now, does he mean that he personally had a need, Jesus needed to stay at Zacchaeus' house? Obviously not. The meaning is very clear. Zacchaeus, I need to be at your house. You need me at your house. Not for Jesus' sake, for the sake of Zacchaeus. Would Zacchaeus have been any different? Would his life have been changed in some fashion if he had just observed Jesus walking by? If he had had a good view from that tree and had looked out there and seen the Messiah walk by, would he have gone back and changed his life? I doubt it. By the power of his word, Jesus called Zacchaeus out of that tree into a very personal relationship with him. By the power of his word, he has called you and I into that same personal relationship. Just like that controller was able to talk to the young man and tell him what needed to be done, and following those directions, he broke out of the clouds and got where he needed to be, just so the word of Jesus, the gospel message, comes to you and to me, and it tells us what needs to be done, and it gives us the power to do it. Now, look at the result with Zacchaeus. We don't know, because there's no more information in the scriptures about what happened to Zacchaeus. But does anyone doubt that it wasn't just a temporary change in his life that took place? Does anyone doubt that he spent the rest of his life being the kind of person that reflects a loving God's kindness in saving? I'm sure personally that that's the kind of life he led from that point on, because he did know that personal relationship with Jesus. He was no longer an observer. He was a participant in life. Now, it would be easy for us here at the seminary to make the assumption that every person here, whether it's a student or a faculty member, a staff member, a wife, a worker of any kind, anybody on these seminary grounds is undoubtedly in a very personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That could be an incorrect assumption. Could you believe that someone could come to a seminary and spend 3 years in classes and 1 year as a vicar and not have a personal relationship to Christ? Well, it's hard to believe, but it's possible. It is possible to go through everything here and continue to be an observer. I can tell you from personal experience, there are plenty of observers. The trees are absolutely full of them out there in your parishes. There's lots of observers. In fact, as a percentage of the congregation, it may well be that more than half of them are just observers and not really participants. For our challenge, mine and yours, whether you're a seminarian, a pastor, a wife, a layperson of any kind, our challenge is to focus the words of Jesus on these observers, on these non-participants, to use the words of Jesus to call them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and to get them to stop being observers and start being participants. May God enable us so to do. Amen.